my words be true.
We're going to continue in our series today, The Power of Words. We started it last week, The Power of Words. We're learning the hidden gem in the power of our words. I liken it to the story last week I talked about, that many of us don't realize all the power that is trapped inside of our mouth. That when God created the heavens and the earth, He spoke them into existence. And that God has created us in His image, that by this, and we see it all through Scripture, this point backed up, that when we speak, we have the power to create life or death with the words that come out of our mouth. And I said it last week that, you know, there's a hidden gem there that we didn't realize. It's kind of like my parents, who never had really tapped into the internet until just recently. And they got the computer and they got on the internet, and my mom learned about Facebook and her world changed. My newsfeed changed. It's all filled now with my mom learning how to forward things over to me. Every recipe that she ever finds, she loves God every day, and she loves all these things that she's liking and forwarding to me, and she's, you know, there's all these things. I love it, but, you know, this cracks me up because all of a sudden she's realized, I can see my grandkids on here. I can watch videos on here. I see pictures of what's going on. This is great stuff. Did you know about this? I'm like, yeah, it's called the internet, Mom. Welcome. I love it because, you know, all of a sudden she's tapping into this power she never knew she had, this resource. It's kind of like, you know, people who have iPhones and they bought the iPhone because they wanted to talk. And all of a sudden they realize, boy, this actually takes pictures and video, and you can make reservations on here, and you can check what's going on. You can Google things. You can get prices. You can get GPS and directions, and all these things are happening from your phone. And it's like the light goes off in your head. And you're like, yes, I didn't know my phone could do that. Anybody had that moment in your life? You're like, I didn't realize my phone could do that. And the kids are like, yeah, it's really easy. Let me show you how to get it done. It's kind of those moments, I think, the same way. We've had these power of our words that have always been there. But if we don't learn to tap in to the resource they are, they do us no good. Matter of fact, they do us just the opposite. They can do us harm if we don't realize the power of the words that come out of our mouth according to what God's Word tells us. So today I want to talk to you. I was trying to think of a clever name, and I really couldn't think of any clever name, so I just went with what I believe speaks the most about the sermon. Is really, I want to give you four things. Four things you must know about your words. Some facts I want you to get that really you need to know about the power of our words. You know, as we go forward in this series, the Word of God says that we worship the Lord in spirit and in what? Let me say again. Scripture says that we worship God in spirit and in truth. It's twofold. We're called to worship God in twofold. When we say we worship God in spirit and in truth, we're saying, first of all, my spirit man engages. This morning, there was a lot of that. A lot of our spirits were engaging with worship. We were worshiping Him in our spirit. We, as we used to say when we was growing up, I could feel something going on. You know, you ever heard that statement? I could feel. When you walked into Destiny Church, I hope that you felt something in the atmosphere. I hope you felt the Spirit of God, and your spirit man was engaging with what you felt. Your heart was engaging, your mouth, your hands, the song out of you coming. You say, I'm allowing my spirit to feel what God is doing. I can feel the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit in this room. I feel what God's doing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a very good thing. Scripture says we need to worship Him with our spirit, how we feel. And it also says, the other side says we need to worship Him with what? With truth. And truth is what? Truth is knowledge of the Scriptures. Talking about the knowledge. His Word is truth. We know His Word to be truth. So we worship Him with our feelings, and we also worship Him in our knowledge. And when you worship one side without the other, you become unbalanced. I was raised in a church where it was all about what you felt. You know, we had a great service because I felt it today. And boy, we were all feeling it. And we had these long services where you felt a lot of things. And then when you left, people didn't change. And I even had a young boy at the age of around 10 or 11, I was picking up on something. Well, we felt really good today, but people aren't changing. There's no fruit in people's lives. People are not changing. They're having all these feelings, but they're not changing. Or maybe today it's just the opposite. Maybe you grew up in a church, and I've been in some of these churches where there's some great teaching, full of knowledge, and they take pride in the Bible teaching that comes forth. And therefore, we're growing in knowledge. But the danger of that is this: when we grow in just knowledge and not let our spirit engage as well, then we become boastful in what we know. And we let our knowledge begin to become pride in our life. And so it's very much important that we learn to be balanced, that we engage our spirit, and we also grow in truth. And so today, this series is really about us growing, because it's not an easy subject as we talk about the power of our words. Because some sermons I give, you can say, well, Pastor, that doesn't really apply to me. I'm not really going to apply that principle to my life. And you have that right. But in this series, in this sermon, it affects every one of us. If you can speak, you're already operating in one of two principles. Either you're speaking life or you're speaking death. There's no middle ground. You can't say, I'm not going to participate in this series, Pastor. This is not for me. It's for you. It's for me. It's for every one of us. If you can speak, this series is for you. And if you allow it to, it will stretch you and cause you to grow in truth of God's word. So I want you to engage your spirit. I want you to engage how you feel. I want you to engage, but I also want you to grow in the knowledge that will bring fruit in your life. We want to be balanced. And so this is what we're learning to do. So today, as we go into our scripture, let's remember our text last week. Proverbs 18:21 reminds us that this, that says that there's in the tongue, the power of our words, there's power of what? Life and death. We established that last week. There's power in life and death. Last week we made a statement I want to remind you about this week. It says we need to stop trying to get God in agreement with our words, and we need to start getting our words in agreement with God. Do you understand what's happening? We need to stop trying to get God to be in agreement with our words, with our plan, with our vision, and we need to say, God, I want to line up with your words. I want to line up with your word, the word of the Lord. I want to learn, line up with your vision, with your plan. It's a whole different cultural change as we're learning to line up. And that's where the power lies. The power lies in our words of life when we line up our words with what God already says about us. James 3, we're going to read this chapter here in just a second. But James 3 really gives us a great picture. There's about 12 verses here to just talk about how we speak and the power of our tongue. It's one of the most powerful things in Scripture, instruction on teaching us. And we're going to break it down today and spend our time right here in these first 12 verses of James chapter 3. Let's read the first two. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. James is having these moments saying, man, it's hard being in the spotlight teaching. And he tells why. For we who teach will be judged more strictly, indeed. And look what he says. We all make many mistakes. For if we could control, look what it says now. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in some ways, right? No. He says if we'll control our tongues, we'll control ourselves in what? Every other way. And so today we got to realize this, that if we will learn to control our mouth, that the other areas that are out of control in our life will learn to get back in alignment with God's will for our life. So if you're struggling with kind of being out of alignment and saying, man, I love God, I am feeling him, and I feel his presence, but there's some areas of my life that are just kind of out of control. There's some areas of my life that are not lining up right. Could it be that our mouth is keeping those areas out of control in our life? Because when our mouth gets subject and under control of the Holy Spirit, the other areas of our life begin to get back into proper alignment. And we can back this up, and we'll talk about it here in Scripture as it teaches us. Let me give you four things I want you to get today. Four facts about the tongue I want you to take home with you. Number one, the tongue is disproportionately powerful. The tongue is disproportionately powerful. Now, I didn't say the word disproportionately just to mess with our life group leaders tonight, because they got to lead this and say this again. But what I want you to realize is this, that the tongue is just not powerful. Its proportion is really way off. When you think of the size of what's coming, the power that comes out of the size of the object, Scripture backs us up. Let's look at what it says here. In James 3, verses 3 to 5, when we put bits in the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder whenever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is also a small part of the body. It's a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. Realizing this, that he says that the tongue is small, but it's very powerful. He says, don't overlook it. You don't think it to be a powerful thing, but think about it like this. It's a small bit that can go in the back of a horse's mouth that can control a 1,200, 1,500 pound animal. You don't think it, that little small bar can do it, but it can. The same way in our faith, he says this, that our mouth really controls a lot more weight than you think. The mouth is capable of steering your body in a different direction. The mouth is capable. We've got to realize this. I wrote this down for you, and I want you to get this today, that I've been doing this thing, and we've been learning how to discover all of our truths in our life, discovering all the gifts. Matter of fact, I did this thing called Strength Finders the other day, and it's really about finding your strengths, and I've taken several of these tests. Maybe some of you have taken the test Strength Finders. If you haven't, and you want to learn what some of your strengths are, it's a great book to read, and if you buy the book, it's got a free download. You can go back on the internet, take this test, and you can find out the strengths you have. And I took the test, and you know what it told me? I found out that I was called to be a leader. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah, thank you. And then I was also called. I said one of my other strengths was that I lead a lot, and I'm really competitive. I was like, this is really wrong. I don't think this is really right. This thing is way off base. It said I was competitive. I don't know where they get that from. But anyway, we can find out all the gifts you want. We really can. Look what I said. You can discover all your strengths you want. But if you can't control your tongue, it won't help. That's what Scripture is teaching us here. That if you can discover all the gifts you want, you can discover all the strengths you have you want, but if you don't control your tongue, none of them will bring fruit in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a lesson that if you will take it right now to all my young leaders here in the room, all the young married, all the young people, let me tell you, if you can learn this lesson at a young age, it will save you years of setback, years of treading water. It can actually set you years ahead, wisdom-wise, when you learn to control your mouth. I'm just going to tell you, it will save you so much time. And James says it again in chapter 1, verse 26. Look what it says here. It backs us up again. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Now, this word religious here, it translates a little different than it does other times of Scripture. Other times, sometimes religious has to do with traditionalists. You know, just doing religious tradition things out of tradition. Here, it's not talking about things out of tradition. It's talking about how we serve God. So let's read that again. If you claim to serve God, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself. And you serving God is worthless. Wow. Tell me that doesn't hurt. Man, does that hit you as hard as it hits me today? It says if we don't control our mouth, serving God, the fruit of what we're doing is really worthless. And it goes on to tell us here that our service doesn't mean anything if we're not controlling our tongue. Your tongue is like a rudder of a boat. Small, but it controls a big part of the ship. It's a small part of the ship, but it controls the whole ship. Without the rudder, what happens? You'll drift off course. The wind will take you where you don't want to go. Without the rudder, you can't position yourself in the middle of a storm. Otherwise, you will capsize and you'll turn over. The rudder keeps you pointed in the right direction. The rudder keeps you pointed and going to your destination. Otherwise, you drift over and you capsize. Have you ever wondered, many times in our life, even though our destination is right, when our mouth's broke as a rudder, it causes us to drift way off our destination. It can cause us to capsize and say, what happened? I didn't see that coming. Could it be our mouth's out of control? He says, your mouth is like the rudder. He says, your mouth is like a little spark that can burn a whole forest. I remember one time when I was a kid, I was lighting some fireworks off, and I had a box of small fireworks that I always kept stocked up year-round, even other than the 4th of July. I know that's wrong, right? And so I admit it today, I did fireworks year-round as a kid. I feel so much better now. The guilt was just weighing me down. Yeah, whatever. Okay. So, but one time I remember I was just doing some small fireworks, and all of a sudden one small firework, I was raised around it. Matter of fact, my uncle owned a big firework business and warehouse. And so I was always taught the safety of fireworks. And, you know, we didn't hold them unless we had a glove in our hand. So we did everything really good, you know, right, according to protocol. Some of you laughing, you understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, I remember one time the small firework jumped off the pavement and went into my neighbor's yard. And before you know it, the whole thing went, because it was dry, it was the middle of the summer, and their whole grass just turned charcoal black, just like that. I'm out there like, oh, 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 oh! You know, I'm out there trying to stomp it out and trying to get the water to it, and I just couldn't stop it. Their whole yard, almost 90% of the yard, just turned black, just like that. And I went and hid in the house. My dad came home, he said, what happened to our neighbor's yard? And I said, Dad, I don't know what happened. I really don't. I don't know what happened. I think some kids down the street did that. But it was just like that little bitty spark from a firecracker caused the whole yard to burn up. The same thing happens even worse than that last summer. Remember the Colorado fires, where people who are either taking matches and throwing them out the window or taking a lit cigarette and throwing out the window, and all of a sudden that little spark caused hundreds and thousands of acres to go up in fire and in smoke and be charcoal. That's what he's saying. This is the power of our tongue. You don't realize a little spark, but this little spark has the power to create a forest fire. Somewhere, Smokey the Bandit, you know, not Smokey the Bandit, Smokey the Bear. Too many 80s movies, sorry. Too many 80s movies. Smokey the Bear is saying, you shouldn't do that. Watch your mouth. You can prevent forest fires with your mouth. Why? Because a spark, this is what the power of God says, the power of the word says that our tongue has this kind of power. We don't realize this potential. The second thing you got to get, the tongue is inherently evil. We inherit an evil spirit from our tongue. Scripture, I'm just telling you what Scripture says. You don't have to like it. I'm just telling you. Don't look at me like I'm making this up. Let's back it up in Scripture. James 3:6. Look what it says here. The tongue also is a fire. That's what it says. The tongue also is a fire. The world of evil among the parts of the body. He says it corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And itself sets fire. What is itself set on fire by who? Hell. If you didn't know this, hell is setting your mouth on fire. Some of you are saying, this makes a lot of sense now that I read this. I can tell you. Let's skip to verse 8. But no human being can tame the tongue. No man, no woman, okay? Some of you thought it was just your husband's problem, but it's not. It doesn't make a difference. It's your husband and your wife, male, female. It says no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly what? Poison. Turn to your neighbor and say, that tongue is poison. Your tongue is poison. That's what Scripture says. Pastor, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, let me just tell you, do you have to teach your children to say rude things and mean things? Do you have to teach your children to say that? They come by it naturally, don't they? It's just the opposite. We have to teach our kids how to say the right things, how to say nice things. I mean, don't you love it when kids are at that age, when they're first learning to talk and they have no filter? Learn to talk in full sentences. I mean, all of our kids had, I mean, Landon was really good at this. Landon, he was really smart. Yeah, Landon, he was really smart. But he could talk in full sentences at a young age, but he had no filter. And we'd be in the middle of the store, and he would tell you exactly the way he seen it. Hey, Dad, see that girl over there? And I'd be like, because he would just tell you exactly what he saw. You had to be careful what you said, because he would repeat it to everybody. That's the way our mouths are already. They just brood on us. They will tell you the truth, and many times they will cut you to the core with the poison. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that's true. I just babies. I don't. Well, how about this? How about you just right now, every one of you in this room, can you remember junior high school? Just think, remember junior high school. Some of you are already crying right now.
Thanks, Pastor.
Junior high wasn't very kind to you, was it? I mean, junior high is a place where kids will hurt you with their words. If you're too short, if you're too tall, if you're too skinny, if you're too big, they were going to expose it. If you're too rich or you're too poor, they're going to expose it. If you're too fast or you're too slow, they're going to expose it. If you're too smart, they're going to make fun. If you're too dumb, they're going to make fun. I mean, they pick on everything. Why? Because naturally inside of us, our mouth can do damage. And it's a natural thing for us to do that. It's a natural place to do damage with our tongue. It's something inside of us. So that's the great news, right? We're born with it. We have it. Let me give you some more things here. Number three. The tongue is humanly untamable. Humans can't tame it, according to what we just read in the scripture. And let's back it up. The tongue is humanly untamable. Look what James verse 7 and 8 says of chapter 3. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles, sea creatures and being tamed, what? Are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. Look what it says. No human being can what? Tame the tongue. No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now let's keep reading it. Full of what? Deadly poison. So we know this right here, that it says that no human being can tame the tongue. He says you can tame a dog. You can tame a tiger and a lion. You can tame a bear. But you can't tame your mouth. He says it's humanly impossible. So what's the solution? The solution is this. Even though there's no human cure, there is a divine spirit. The tongue is divinely tameable. This is the only way we'll learn to tame our mouth is by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. It is divinely tameable. So let's go through our owner's manual. Let's go see what the person who created us had to say about controlling our mouth and how to fix it. Exodus 4:10. I love this story about Moses. And Moses was pleading with the Lord, Lord, I'm not very good with my words. I've never have been. I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, because I get all twisted with my words, tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I? The Lord? Look what he says. Now go. Look what he commands. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. Now I know that Moses was talking about here his problem with getting tongue-tied, to a stuttering, whatever you may translate this to be. But what we see here is a very much a principle that God says, I want to be in control of your speech. I want to be in control of the words that come out of your mouth. And we can back this principle up with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 when he told his disciples to go out. He says, go out. I'm sending you out. He says, don't be nervous about what you're going to say, because when his time is right, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. The Holy Spirit will guide your words and what to say. Let me say this to you. The only way we can tame our tongue and get it back into alignment is by submitting our tongue and submitting our mouth to the lordship and the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't get around it any other way. He says, you're not that good. I'm not that good. No one's that good. There's nothing in our human nature that would allow us to tame our tongue, to control our tongue the way it needs to be, except by giving over control of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's the only way. That's the only way we can do it. We see the same thing happening here on the day of Pentecost. Remember when Jesus went away, he ascended. He says, go and tarry and wait for me. I'm going to send you the comforter. I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And they prayed. And they were in their upper room praying. And when the Holy Spirit came, what was the first thing the Holy Spirit done? He touched their tongue, didn't he? He changed their tongue. He changed their language. See, there's something about this you got to tap into. There's something about the power of the Holy Spirit wanting to be in control of our mouth that we have never realized. Just not in control of our emotions, just not in control of our life, but in control of our mouth. The Holy Spirit wants us to give Him control of our mouth. I'm going to share more of this point later on, not today, because there's so much there. I'm going to explain and talk to you more about how the Holy Spirit controls our mouth. But I want you to get this, that the Holy Spirit wants to control our mouth. It's the only way we can give over and get control is by giving control to the Holy Spirit. If you don't realize this or not, know that Satan wants to occupy your mouth. He says, hell, set your mouth afire. Satan wants to occupy your mouth. So I wrote this down. I want you to get it down. Look at the statement I made. As a believer, Satan can't hurt me. And I can back this up with Scripture and show you that Satan cannot hurt you as a believer, as a child of God. Now, let me say this to you, that this common sense would tell you this. If Satan can hurt you, he would have already killed you. Okay? If Satan could hurt you, he would have already killed you. Satan cannot hurt you. But what he can do is cause you to hurt yourself. Look what he says here. Look what I said. But he will try to get you to turn your mouth against yourself so that you become helpless and powerless. Satan attacks your mouth so he can get you agreeing with death. Because Scripture says that our words are either in agreement with life or our words become in agreement with death. So it is Satan's job, what he feels like he wants to do, everything his motive is he wants to get you agreeing with death in your life. Death over your marriage, death over your children, death over your finances, death over your health, death over your job. If he can get you saying those things, he doesn't have to touch you because you take away and you strip away the power that God's got in your life. And the last thing I want you to get, number four, the tongue is contrastingly productive. There's a contrast going on. There's a contrast happening with the productivity of our mouth. I love the way James writes it, where we can really understand it here in James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. He says, with the tongue, we praise our God, we praise our Lord and the Father. And with the same tongue, we what? We curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Pretty harsh words for it. He says, listen, guys, this needs to stop. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt springs produce fresh water. What he's saying is this, that they can't coexist. He says that, listen, if the water's bad, the whole thing's bad. A spring's not going to produce good water and then bad water. If the bad water's in there, the whole thing's contaminated. He's saying an apple tree is not going to produce oranges. It can't do it. It can't. An apple tree is not going to produce oranges and apples. It's going to do one or the other. But the power of the mouth is different. You have the power to produce good fruit, and you have the power to produce bad fruit. And he makes it, in this case, we don't get it. He paints the picture for us very clear. He says, if we come to church and we'll sing our song, you know, we're like, oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. When I speak your name, hallelujah, I praise you, Lord. God, you are awesome. And we're singing to the Lord. We're praising God out of one mouth. And then we turn around, we're done, and say, boy, I can't stand her. Do you know she gossips about everybody? And I told everybody in the church that she gossips about everybody. That's what he says we do. He says we praise God one time, and then we turn around and we curse this creation who's made in his image. How counterproductive are we? God, we want your blessing, but we're cursing your people. Somebody better say amen. Okay, I need a little help this morning. You know why this is so tough? Because I struggle with this. I've struggled with this in my life plenty. It's been one of the hardest things for me to learn is to control my mouth and put it under subjection to the Holy Spirit. The bad news is this, that we can speak death. But the good news is this, we can choose to speak life. We can choose to speak life over our marriage. We can speak life over our children. We can speak life over our finances and our health. We can speak life. We got to quit speaking death. One of the things that I see a lot when I do marriage counseling with people, and over the years, and I counsel people, they'll come into my room and be like, start talking right away, and I just hear them talking. It's always the same story. He never, or she never, he never loved me. I'm like, really? He never loved you? When we get talking, did you love her when you dated her? Yeah, I loved her. Did you love her when you were engaged? Yeah, I loved her. Did you love her when you got married? Yeah. Did you love her during the honeymoon? Yeah, I loved her. Did you love her those first? Yeah. What's happened? Well, something that's happened over the last year or two. We've fallen out of romance. Okay. So the statement is he's never loved you. The statement is we've fallen out of romance with each other. It's a difference. But what you've done, you've created the void with your word. Just like ladies, when you go and tell your husband, you never help around the house. You never do this. You never help me around the house. You never helped me with the kids. And in his mind, he's thinking, yeah, huh? Yes, I did. I took out the trash last week. I put the laundry away before you got home today. I washed the kids for 2 hours before you get were you out shopping around doing your thing. But you come home and a few things are messed up. And so you say, I never. But let me tell you, from now on, I will never do it. You've already spoken it to me and you've already triggered something in my spirit as a man that says, I'm not going to do it now because you said never. That's the way, I'm just telling you, this is the way we are driven in our mind and our heart. And when we speak words of death, we are producing, we are prophesying over the people. We're prophesying over our spouse. Never, well, you're right. It's never going to happen again when you say we will never. Well, she'll never. You're right. She ain't never going to do it because you just spoke it out. My kids will never make good grades. My kids will never clean their room. My kids will never learn to behave. My kids will never get a job. Keep speaking it, and they'll follow right what you speak. We've got to learn to speak life. You've got to learn to speak over your children. When one of my children acts in a way that's inappropriate, it's almost every time I look at them and say, you know what? This is not you. You do not act this way. I don't know why you act this way, but you are better than this. You're more responsible than this. And I just want you to know what actions that are going on, this is not you. This is not what you were designed to be. This is not who God's created you to be. You're better than this. I am speaking over them. I'm not coming into agreement with that action. I'm calling out of them saying, I believe God's got a better plan for your life. Speak over life, over them. I will tell you this to be very true, as I started to tell you a while ago. This is something I have struggled with. I can tell you that when I was growing up that I was pretty sharp with my tongue. If you picked on me, I would cut you to pieces with my tongue. You try to outwit me, it wasn't going to happen. I have you crying. You mess with me, I was like, zing! Boy, I could cut you so fast. I have to watch it. My kids will come home and be like, so-and-so said this about me. I'm like, you know what you need to tell them when you go back to school? I can't tell you that. I'm sorry. You don't do that. But there's something inside of me that I can tell you the truth of naturally that, boy, I could really struggle with this and I have before. And it's taken me years for God to get control of my tongue, for me to learn to hold back. It's not easy. I can tell you it's not easy. But the benefits are so strong that when I give my mouth full control of the Holy Spirit, I say, Holy Spirit, I want you to guide my words. I want you to guide my tongue. I want you to guide with the words that are coming out of my mouth. It changes your marriage. It changes your home. It changes your atmosphere. It changes your outlook. It'll change your health. It'll change your attitude. As we see, it's all natural. We're made this way. That we don't always speak the right thing. But I want to learn to be life speakers. And how about this? How about at Destiny Church? We say we're going to learn to be life speakers. What kind of positive impact can we have in a cultural change in our community? If just the people who attend Destiny would just go out and begin to speak life over people. When you go to work, I will not gang up on my boss, but I'm going to learn to speak life over my work. I'm going to speak good things. I'm going to look for something good to say. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to be a hope giver. I'm going to look for good things to say. I'm going to speak life over my children, over my community, over my school, over my church, over my family, over my neighborhood. I'm going to speak life. What kind of culture change will we see happen? I believe that God is calling us up to change, to grow. And it starts by us getting our words back into alignment, giving control of the Holy Spirit in our life and say, my mouth must get back into control. And when that gets back into alignment, it says the rest of my things in my life will begin to line back up the way they need to be. So the bottom line is this. You can pray all you want to. You can read the scripture all you want to. But if your mouth's out of line, if your mouth's out of control, it will bring you no fruit. For some of you here, the light's going off today because you say, Pastor, I've tried to do some things in my life. I've tried to get more serious about my worship. I've tried to get more serious about different areas of spiritual discipline in my life. But yet, even though I see some change, I'm not seeing all the change I want to see. Could it be that we're doing one thing, but the other thing is out of alignment and it's causing us to bear no fruit in that area of my life? I challenge you, get your mouth back into alignment with the Holy Spirit and see if the other areas of your life don't get back in alignment and begin to prosper according to what God's will is for your life. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close with this song, and as we do, if you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to give full control of my mouth today. You're speaking to me. I want to give full control of my mouth to the Holy Spirit today. I want to learn to give my mouth under subjection to what God's word says about me. I want you to come to the front and join me in the front. We're going to close out with this song, declaring the goodness of God, declaring his name over our life. I know this is not an easy word today to receive, but it's a very much a truth word. And we're going to grow from it. How many? We're going to grow from it. Amen. We're going to grow. We're going to learn to change our words, and we're going to learn to speak kind. We're going to learn to speak mercy, and we're going to learn to be God's agents. We're going to learn to be God's voice, and we're going to learn to let our voice and our words come under subjection to what the Holy Spirit wants. Come on in, guys. Press around to the front. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's declare it today. Come on, Justin. All right, put your hands together. Come on. Here we go. We're going to give God a high praise in service. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Let's go.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh.
Lord, today, Father, right now, as we lift our hands across the front of this auditorium and across this auditorium, Father, right now, I want to pray that, Father, you are allowing us today to get instruction that will cause us to grow. So, Father, I pray right now, we say yes to the instruction of Scripture and yes to the instruction of the Holy Spirit today. God, help us to get our mouth in alignment according to what the will of the Holy Spirit is for our life. God, help us to put that thing under God's control. So right now, Father, we say yes, that we are going to submit to your will. Yes, we will learn to let our mouth be in our subjection to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak. God, may your words come out of our mouth. May we be people who speak life. May we speak positive things. May we speak healing. May we speak life over people that we come in contact with, over our family, over our children, over our job and our finances, God, over our marriage. We speak life. We come into agreement with life. And Father, right now, we say yes to your Holy Spirit. Now, just put your hand right here on the side of your mouth. Can you do this? God, right now, God, I pray for my mouth right now. That God, I pray right now that my mouth becomes under subjection to your will of the Holy Spirit for my life. No longer may this mouth speak out words of cursing and words of death, but God, may life come out of my mouth. I break hold of any chain right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I speak life. I speak life will come out of our mouth. We speak life, Lord. I pray in this room that the Spirit of the life-giving Word of God is coming alive in our hearts and out of our mouth. In the name of Jesus, we say yes, yes, and amen. Now put your hands together and say yes, amen. Hallelujah, Lord. We're going to be life speakers. We're going to be life speakers, and we're going to make a difference. We're going to speak life. Speak life this week. Let's make a difference. Let's make a difference. God bless you today. Turn around and give someone a big hug, a big high five, and say, man, it was good to be with you today. Don't forget to stop by the back. Sign up for KidFest. Sign up. Help us out. We'll see you tonight in our life groups.